accession number
19052, reel 6.
Patrick Brown, reel 6. Patrick, have you any other memories of your service in Holland?
Yes, the Dutch people are really nice people. They really made us welcome. And I went to a place called Geldrop, which we were put in a farm, and the farmer's wife actually killed the pig and made us have a meal with them, which was most, you know, where they really couldn't have afford really to do that, but because we had liberated them, they had to show their appreciation. And the farmer killed this pig, and we partook of their meal of this pig. Then we went to Helmond. In Helmond, we helped in the Dutch hospital. They're run by the Sisters of Mercy. And one thing which really surprised us, the dressings that we used to just throw away and burn, they washed and hung out to dry because they were so short of material, really, you know, dressings and so forth. Then while we were in Holland, in the winter time it was now, everywhere was covered in snow and ice, and then the Battle of the Bulge started, and we were told to go down and help with that. But fortunately, we went down in our trucks. The whole division moved down, 43rd Div moved down, but we weren't required, and so we came back to Helmond again. And this was Christmas Day we got back, and the Germans decided to bomb Helmond, which was quite unusual, because they'd never experienced anything along that part of the front. And there we had to rush to the Dutch hospital and give hands with the casualties. They were mostly Dutch people that came in. It was very fortunate that it was sort of early morning, because there was a cinema, and all the troops that were available used to go to the cinema, which would have been, you know, if they'd have caught the cinema and it had been late in the day, then there would have been a tremendous amount of casualties. In leaving Holland, we went up to the Rhine, and I was involved in the Rhine crossing. The engineers set off all these smoke when the paratroopers went across, and the whole of the front of the Rhine there was covered in this thick smoke. When it cleared, we moved with the division, and we went across the Rhine on these pontoons, which was rather a scary experience. And then the other side, when we got on into Germany itself, then we set up and treated casualties. We had some paratroopers come through us, German soldiers, and some civilians as well, plus of course our own troops.
Which unit were you attached to for the Rhine crossing?
I think it was the 43rd. We seemed to be floating a lot of the time with him. I'm sure it was the 43rd Div.
And you said you crossed on pontoons?
Yeah. Yeah, they strung these pontoons across the river with these planks, and then the vehicles, or took carrying vehicles, took the troops across, and we came across in our wagons, and then behind us came the ambulances. And it really was quite something. I mean, there were I don't know how many sort of these pontoon crossings there were, but there were quite a lot. And because apparently the fighting on the German soil there hadn't been as fierce as they had expected. I think it was because of the smokes and of the paratroopers.
What was your first impressions of
Germany?
Germany.
Well, I don't remember any impression, really. Just thought it was strange that we were now in Germany. That's as far as I can think back, because things were moving so fast then. Well, we went up to the Elbe, and we crossed the Elbe in the same way. Then let's see.
You were still treating people in the same routine. You in the same. Stop.
That's it. Yeah, we would stop and treat people, and then we would go in reserve. Then we carry on.
What was the rate of casualties like in Germany?
They weren't as bad as in Normandy. They weren't as bad as in Normandy. No. No, we didn't work, you know, 24, 48 hours in Germany. The rate of casualties wasn't as great. Because the fighting was so fluid.
You got up to the Elbe?
Yeah, we went across the Elbe. And there, then we were with the 4/5 Commandos when we crossed the Elbe, and there we set up in a factory, and we were actually but the regimental stretcher bearers were bringing casualties off the street into this factory for us to operate on, and there were some really nasty casualties there. There was one sergeant we attended to, and we put in 14 pints of blood, but it was to no avail. And our major wrote on his notes, and so goes a gallant gentleman.
How had he been injured?
Machine gun fire had ripped across his stomach, because all his bowels were open. We had to try and push them back with warm swabs and things, but it was to no avail. He's just one of the unlucky ones. Most of them were gunshot wounds in the arms and legs and in the body itself, which the major. It was really rough surgery, really. It was just exploring the cavity, plugging it with wadding, and because we were using this formaldehyde powder and pumping plenty of that in, and. Then they were sent down as soon as they could sort of be sent by ambulance down to the casualty clearance station, and then knocked down. So, where else? Can tell you one episode when we were with the 4/5 Commandos. a couple of the blokes went into a jeweler's shop there and blew the safe. But as far as we know, they didn't get anything.
And where was this town?
It's called Neustadt. But there are an awful lot of towns in Germany called Neustadt. And so I can't remember exactly where it was now. I went to Bremen. We went into a Luftwaffe hospital and used that for a while. That was really good, that was.
How do you mean good?
The equipment in there was terrific. We didn't use our own equipment. We used theirs. They just abandoned everything, and it was a marvellous hospital, really marvellous. We used the theatre there, and the troops who were injured, they had first class. Admitted they were looked after by nursing orderlies, men, no nurses, but they had a marvellous treatment there.
And what was the state of Bremen at the time?
It was badly damaged. I mean, going through the German towns, engineers had carved through the buildings that had been demolished by bombing and so forth. They'd then carved roads through, right through, just straight through the town. And you just went over rubble. And you actually saw the German people in the cellars there looking out at you. It was rather, a bad experience, really, in a way, even though they were the enemy.
Did you have any contact with them at that stage?
No. Well, there was a directive from Monty, no fraternisation. But, we were going through or dealing, that there wasn't time for personal contact.
So do you have any memories of VE Day?
Well, one minute. I'll come back to that in a minute. We went right through to Schleswig-Holstein. And there at Schleswig-Holstein was all the SS. And they were walking around absolutely covered in their potato mashers, as it was called, ammunition. And we did speak to those, and they were saying, London kaput. And we said, oh, no, it's not. It's still standing up. And a lot of them, having spoken to them, they spoke perfect English, and they'd been waiters in the Ritz and places like that in Piccadilly.
And these were POWs?
No, these... We were ahead of the troops when we got to Schleswig-Holstein. We arrived in front of our own men.
So the Germans were just in the...
were in the town, wandering around.
They weren't defending the town?
No, they'd sort of said they'd had enough.
And they were SS?
Yeah, they were SS troops, yeah. And they just said, we've had enough. And just wandering around, waiting to be captured. That was all, which was quite an experience. From Schleswig-Holstein, we went into Denmark, but we didn't stay. We came back again because they wanted us in Germany. We went to one to a German hospital. Then we came. See, the war hadn't ended; it was still going on. We came down and joined up with the Guards Armoured, and then war was declared over. And how I heard. On one of the Guards Armoured tanks, we heard Churchill give his speech about the end of the war, which that was really something. And everybody, there wasn't any hooraying or anything. Everybody was really sort of dumbstruck and couldn't believe that it was over. There was some gunfire that night by troops, but nothing much, just a bit of a blaze off, and that was it. I think everybody was so relieved that things had now finished. But, we were all sort of war weary, I think.
And what did you do next?
We lost our major. He was transferred from us, and we got a new major. And, then we came down into Germany. We were told we're going to be disbanded. and we were to make our way down to somewhere in Germany where there was this huge field that had been carved out. It was banked up. And all these vehicles went in and our vehicles were in. We were only left the Humber Snipe, which nine of us got in there. And we came down to a loading point in Germany, got on a train which had no windows, and we went across the Rhine in this train, which was rather scary because there was only the one rail and you could see down either side into the Rhine. And then the train chugged on. We had a stop where we were given food, soup and a couple of wads and tea and jam. Carried still on down. And we finally landed up in Bruges. There we were sort of we lost the officers there at Bruges, and we were put in this big hotel, and we were told we were going to be ready to go to the Far East. And while we were there, we were treated like fighting cocks, really well fed, and everybody couldn't do enough for you. And then, of course, the atom bomb was dropped, and things changed straight away.
What was your reaction to that?
Well, I was pleased. I didn't want to go to Japan. Some of the other blokes were as well. And then from there we went back into Germany again to a holding unit. we were sorted out again and sent up into Germany there, and I went into a surgical unit which was in a hospital in Germany. I can't remember where it was now, and stayed with them for a while. Then they were disbanded, but I didn't come all the way back to Bruges. I came back to a holding unit in Germany, and then while I was there, I was posted to the 6th British General Hospital at Iserlohn, and worked in the theatre there until I was demobbed.
What was the state of Germany in the immediate post-war period?
Well, at Iserlohn, it had suffered a bit of damage, bomb damage, and the German women there were chipping the cement off of the bricks and piling the bricks up. And of course that bloke was just laughing. I thought it was funny, but I didn't think so. I thought, there shows you what a nation can do. Having been overrun, and then it can get its women folk to start thinking of rebuilding straight away.
Did you have any contact with the German civilians?
We had German prisoners of war in the hospital. They were in the hospital there, acting as ward orderlies and, you know, general menial jobs, really.
And when were you demobbed?
1945. And I'll tell you about this. Okay, we were coming back, and we went to Rouen, and all these chappies who were due for demob, we were kept at Rouen for a whole day, and then tempers got a bit edgy, and then it started getting to quite a mutiny, because they were saying that they were going to keep us back into France, and the whole place was crowded with red caps, and we were hustled onto the boat, even though before anything else, we didn't even get any food or anything. We were shipped from Rouen to Dover, I think it was. We were shipped onto trains. We came up to London, and I went to Duke of York's barracks at Chelsea, and we were passed through there for demobbing, through all the various bits and pieces. Really, our feet didn't touch in regarding demob. And then I went to Olympia and Hammersmith, which was just like a huge store, and there you were actually allowed to do your choice of clothes. You know, you had a shirt, vest, pants, socks, a suit, a trilby hat, civilian shoes, and then you had that was it. Oh, and then you passed everything out. Oh, they took your greatcoat. They kept your greatcoat because they gave you a Mac. And because outside were all the spears, weren't they, trying to get buy your stuff off you, because you were still in uniform, but you had your parcel of all your civvy clothes, and there was all these spears out there trying to get the money off you to, like, you know, your clothes.
Did you sell yours?
No way. I was going to sell mine. It was really strange coming back to civilian life. I found it very hard. Very hard coming back into civilian life.
What kind of effects did it
have? I was, I don't know. Looking back, I must have been, I sort of went out for long walks and things like that, just on my own, I remember. My mother was quite upset about it at the time. Things like that, and then I was in and out of various jobs. I didn't, I didn't do my full leave. I got in one or two jobs and stayed. I found I couldn't settle. I stayed in the job for about a couple of weeks and moved off and got another job and things like that. And it wasn't until VJ day that I really started to calm down. Then I met my wife then and on the parade, VJ day, on the parade there.
So how long were you staying in jobs?
fortnight, a month.
So you were demobbed quite early?
Yes. No, I was deferred for 6 months. So it was the end of 46. Yeah, of course it was, 46.
And you said you met your wife on the VJ Day Parade. Were you on leave then?
Yeah.
Can I just ask you again about the mutiny, near mutiny at Rouen?
Yeah, it was because we were held up for, I think it was a couple of days. We were all herded in this sort of holding unit. And, you know, blokes started to say that they're going to keep us here in France. We're not going to go back to the UK. And from there, it sort of blew up into a, you know, blokes went on the rampage, actually.
What did they do?
Well, smashing windows and, you know, like like the normal thugs do today. Except this was just sheer frustration of not being able to get back to the UK. They were given... If they had told us the truth, I don't think it would have happened, but they kept saying, you know, oh, there's no ships and oh, the sea's too rough and sort of things like that, which obviously was getting people down. I mean, if they told us the truth, no, we can't get you over because of X, Y, Z, then I think it wouldn't have happened. But, you know, telling us all these sort of various tales, that people just didn't take it.
And were these all soldiers who'd been in
battle
for the duration?
Yeah, these were all chaps who'd fought, I mean, had been in battle up in Germany, places like that. I mean, they weren't sort of... they were... hardened soldiers, 6-7 years. I mean, I'd done nearly 7 years. So we were all sort of hardened troops, really. And having sort of called away from Germany in these horrible trains and things like that, and get down to Rouen, and then afterwards we understood that there should have been fags for us and all sorts of things, but obviously somebody was fiddling. And that's how it happened.